the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Gervas, you are a fool.
Yes, sir.
You agree?
Yes, sir.
Then you're a bigger fool than I thought.
Yes, sir.
Now stop that, will you? Haven't you a mind of your own?
Yes, sir.
Well, then use it.
Yes, sir.
You realize that if we don't stop this bickering, they will be here with him before we have made up our minds what to do with him?
Well, I've already decided, sir.
What?
That you handle it, the whole affair.
Of all the stupid, idiotic remarks, that is it. I can't handle it. I have no official capacity whatsoever. You are the high priest, not I.
But you are recognized as head of the officiating priestly family. And in deference to your age, the people recognize you as having the authority of the high priest.
But the officials at Rome do not.
Your counsel is sought and obeyed as the voice of God.
That, my dear son-in-law, is because I am cunning, experienced. I use artifice and subtlety. And when necessary, I am ruthless. I fear no man or God.
Well, anyway, Annas, this is not the official trial, only the preliminaries. The Sanhedrin will try and sentence him to death.
Remember, you are not dealing with an ordinary man. Many times has he escaped traps that we thought inescapable.
Yes, I know.
Well, have you thought what the charges against him will be? Charges that will satisfy our people as well as the officials at Rome?
Have you?
Yes. Frankly, yes. First, he will be charged as being a blasphemer. For this, he will be condemned by our people. And secondly, he will be charged as a criminal by convicting him of sedition. The Romans will condemn him for this.
You will question him.
You are inexperienced at questioning prisoners. Your idea of justice might fail of convicting him. We must not fail. So I will question Jesus myself. Soldiers, bring the prisoner closer. Place him just to the rear of the guards before this throne of justice. You have been arrested by Roman soldiers and are now a prisoner of the Roman Emperor and of the religious authorities of Israel. It is late, past midnight, and you will answer all questions immediately. Your name is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth.
Thou knowest it.
Is it not true that you, together with your close followers, numbering 11, have been and are still seeking to establish a secret society with the purpose of setting up a new kingdom? You were born an Israelite. You enter our temple. You pretend to believe our doctrines. Yet is it not true that the things you advocate and teach are far different from those taught by the Israelite priests and rulers? Where are your 11 disciples right now? They forsook you, ran when the authorities arrested you. Why? Because they know that you do intend to set up a new kingdom, that you work secretly to that end. They ran to save themselves. But it cannot save you. You are guilty of treason.
Yes, yes.
I speak openly to the world. I taught often and openly in your temple. In secret have I said nothing.
We have proof that you work in secret, unlawfully and by unfair means. You lie to win the friendship of the people. You perform fake miracles to gain their approval. Dare you deny these things? You are a prisoner.
Does not the law declare a man innocent until proved guilty?
I asked you a question. Answer it.
Why ask me? Have not your temple priests and rulers sent spies to watch and report my every word and action? Have not these spies been present at every gathering of the people and carried to you all my sayings and doings? Ask them what I have said and done. They know.
How dare you speak thus to the high priest?
How dare you?
If I have said anything evil, bear witness against me of that evil. But if I have spoken truth, why smitest thou me?
They hate you, Jesus of Nazareth. Everyone hates you. You are suffering under their abuse and insults. You created these beings who so cruelly treat you. In one moment, just one little moment, by flashing forth your divine power, you could lay these cruel tormentors in the dust. All Israel is looking for a Messiah to be revealed in outward show. They expect him, by divine power, to change the current of man's thoughts in a flash and force from them an acknowledgement of his supremacy. They believe that thus will the Messiah secure his own exaltation and gratify their own ambitious hopes. You need not continue being insulted. By a word, by a look, you could compel these vile persecutors to confess that thou art Lord above kings and rulers, priests and temple.
Get thee behind me, Satan, for the only hope of humanity is in my submission to all that I can endure from the hands and hearts of men under your control.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Create in me a clean
Carlos, what are you looking for?
My science book. The one with the picture of the moon on the front.
How can you find anything in that locker? It looks like something exploded in there.
Something did. My science project.
By the way, how's your praying going? God still ignoring you?
Actually, no. I did what you said and started listening after I pray. And I think he's given me some pretty good ideas.
Like what?
Well, last week, when my mom was sick, I asked God what to do to help her get better.
And?
And God gave me a really good thought.
Let me guess. He suggested that you not bug her all the time and let her rest?
Well, that might have worked too. But after I prayed, I thought about soup.
Soup?
Yeah, you know, soup. So I made some.
You made your mother something to eat?
Yep, I made her my famous Carlos stew.
You have a stew named after you?
Yes, it's all natural ingredients and comes in a can labeled tomato soup. I just added my secret ingredient, and she loved it.
Your secret ingredient being...
crackers.
Carlos, that's tomato soup and crackers. There's nothing secret about that.
Ah, but when I gave it to her, I whispered, Mom, here's some soup to make you feel better. I made it myself, and I love you. She smiled and said thank you. Soon, she got better and told me that my Carlos stew was the best medicine there is.
Next time I get sick, you can make me some Carlos stew too. But you can leave out the I love you part. Just give me the soup.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Hey, little dove, so brown and gray, you make such a sad, sad sound. But you won't be a mourning dove that day when the Lord of the earth comes down. Hey, willow tree with the falling leaves that flow like tears to the ground. You won't be your weeping on that day when the Lord of the earth comes down. You'll be
a laughing willow and a dancing dove, a brand new by the Lord above. No more sorrow, only joy above. Laughing willow and a dancing dove.
Hey, pretty words with your long green stem, the pointy thorns all around. You'll be a joy to hold that day when the Lord of the Earth comes down.
And yes, Mr. Skunk, if you're awful set, that lets us know you're around. You won't have to smell bad anymore when the Lord of the Earth comes down.
Like the laughing willow and the dancing. Does it seem your life is turning out so bad? Well, the Lord of love, give it half a chance, makes your heart to smile and your feet to dance. Like the
laughing willow and the dancing dove, made brand new by the Lord of love. No more sorrow, only joy above.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Jungle Spirit. If ever a young chap was thankful, it was Tom Hopkins. His parents were American missionaries, and they lived in a big house not far from the edge of the jungle in Brazil. What made Tom congratulate himself was that an old friend of the family, Charles Mayer, whom Tom always called Uncle Charlie, had come on an unexpected visit. Almost as soon as he arrived, he let it be known that he thought Tom was old enough to go along with him on a trip into the jungle. Uncle Charlie had about the strangest way of making a living known to an income tax collector, Dad used to say. He traveled all over the world collecting animals for zoos and circuses. This time, so he told Tom and his folks, he was after jaguars. He had in mind a new kind of device for capturing these untamable cats of the jungle. It would be made out in the jungle. It would be a strong, tightly woven net with an opening about 3 feet across. A live chicken would be the bait inside the net. The instant a heavy animal went after the chicken, down would come the draw rope, closing the net and imprisoning the intruder. "I want to get started on my trip as soon as possible," Uncle Charlie said. "I'll get about a dozen Brazilian boys who know about the jungle and the animals in the jungle to go with us." 2 mornings later, Uncle Charlie, Tom and his dad, and 10 Brazilian boys were ready to go. They started out in riverboats. For a day and a half, they wound their way along the twisting river until they reached a place that looked promising, a perfect place for animals to come down to the shore and drink. Uncle Charlie ordered the boys to gather sturdy vines. He ordered the vines cut in 30-foot lengths. When enough material was gathered, it was woven into nets. The nets were strung up in different places in the jungle where Uncle Charlie had found fresh claw marks on the bark of trees, so he felt hopeful of getting the jaguars that his zoo friends wanted. With the nets all in place, there was nothing to do but wait. Tom thought he'd burst with excitement. He wanted to look at the nets every few minutes, but Uncle Charlie said no. They would stay in camp overnight. Then they would see what had happened at the nets. Early the next morning, the hunting party left camp. The Brazilian boys led the way. Uncle Charlie, Tom, and his dad trailed close behind. "Look, "There's a net," Tom exclaimed in a loud whisper as he pointed. But the net was empty. So was the second one. Before they reached the third net, Tom heard strange sounds coming from the jungle. When he and Dad and Uncle Charlie got nearer, they stopped. There was a tribal witch doctor making all sorts of incantations while his feet and body moved in fast rhythm. Every so often, the witch doctor's body jerked back while he raised his hands high above his head. The 10 Brazilian boys drew back from the witch doctor. Tom could tell by the expressions on their faces that they were afraid. "Spirits! Spirits!" they called out as they saw Uncle Charlie. Then they pointed to the net. It hung down limp from an upper branch of a tree. Tom could not see anything in it at first, but suddenly the bag swung slowly to the right, then to the left. Then it lifted itself straight up into the air. Tom gasped and grabbed his dad's hand. "What's in it?" Even as they watched, the net stopped moving, but in a moment it began to weave about with a weird, sinuous motion. Then the next minute it lowered itself and hung as it had at the beginning. "A spirit, an evil spirit," the Brazilian boys began to chant. Tom couldn't take his eyes from the strangely moving bag. Uncle Charlie walked over to the bag and looked through the foliage surrounding it. "Come and see the spirit, the jungle spirit." The boys held back at first, but Tom and his dad rushed over. There, in the spotted sunlight, was an enormous boa constrictor, half in the net and half out. Uncle Charlie pointed. "See, the tree branch is broken. When the snake shot into the bag after the chicken, his weight must have broken the limb, and the draw rope at the mouth tightened about the snake's middle. No matter how hard the snake tried to escape, it couldn't get away. With its tail firmly wrapped around the tree, it kept raising itself and swaying to and fro. When the boys saw for themselves that it was a snake, they began to laugh. But Uncle Charlie realized that several feet of that snake was still free. A boa's tail is nothing to laugh about. It can crush a person to death, Uncle Charlie knew. "Okay, boys, bring your rope," Uncle Charlie commanded. Tom watched closely as Uncle Charlie directed the business of removing the snake from the net and getting it into captivity. One of the boys was sent up the tree with orders to tie a rope in a slip knot on the snake's tail. Then, very near the end of the tail, the boy was to make what is called a half hitch. As soon as this was done, the boy passed the long rope under the branch and then tossed the free end to the boys below. A strong pull loosened one of the snake's coils, drawing the tip of its tail downward. Holding this rope taut, one of the boys threw the free end back to the boy in the tree. He passed the rope over the branch and dropped it again. Again the boys heaved. Another coil of the boa was freed. They kept up this process until the snake had been unwound, loop by loop. In the meantime, another of the boys had succeeded in passing another rope with a noose on the end about the boa's body. With a third boy holding the line by which the net was tied to the upper branch, everything was ready to lower the snake to the ground as soon as its hold on the tree was loosened. The moment came. The boys below drew the ropes tight. Down came the prisoner. However, by this time, the big snake had worked its head through the mesh of the bag. One of the boys yanked off his shirt, folded it as flat as he could, and used it to press the snake's head back into the net. Now the job of getting the snake ready for the journey out of the jungle began. Everybody pulled and hauled. The free end of the snake's body was wrapped around the bag as if it were a spool. Plenty of rope was then wound over and around to secure it firmly. The whole thing was attached to a pole. When the boa was weighed, it tipped the scales at more than 200 pounds. It was fully 20 feet in length. It was no wonder that Tom and his missionary daddy shared Uncle Charlie's pride over his latest acquisition. The spirit of the jungle was bound to be a real prize for any zoo. That evening, Daddy smiled at Tom and Uncle Charlie as they sat around their campfire. "I am glad that our job as missionaries is not to enslave or capture as the evil one does. Our job is to set men free and make them happy in Jesus."
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955. This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. Let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.